God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. So by far, this is the time that I'd worried about. By long shot, this is the big one. And I'll tell you why. Is because in a conversation with a friend of mine who's a former special forces operator, I asked them, when are the cartel members who brought into our country been brought here? When are they going to get kinetic? When are they going to start to engage in violence? And Michael Rourke told me, well, when we close the border. Why would they do that beforehand? Why would they show what they're here to do while the border's still open? And that's one view of this, and it's been coming for a long time. Of course, none of this is organic, and it's not about immigration, and it's not about Donald John Trump. Of course, it's about destabilizing the country. And I'm here to tell you, there are people who don't know that. They have no idea that that's what's going on. They legitimately think these are folks who are simply just scared that they're going to lose family members, and family members are going to be sent home. And these are Americans defending this because this is what they believe. They don't understand that this is not organic. And that's another view. I think the value I could bring to this today as your host is a, I think, unique view. I've lived in the separate countries of Seattle. I have seen these organizers work. None of this is new to me. But I just spent the last week or so, actually 4 or 5 days, in Mexico. And I was there with my daughter. And we were in Puerto Vallarta, southern Mexico. And we ended up driving around the country with a guy we barely knew. Now, that could sound horribly irresponsible, so let me explain. I've been to Mexico 3 or 4 times. I stay at the same resorts, and I've gotten to know some of the staff. And one of the gentlemen there recommended his nephew as a driver for us. And I accepted. I talked to him. I made sure I took a picture of the license plate, let my wife know where we were going, with whom we were going. I sent her the gentleman's phone number, etc. Did everything I could to try to build safety walls. So he took us about to Mexico. He took us into Puerto Vallarta proper, and he took us to a little town we probably shouldn't have gone to. And when we got there, he said, it'd be okay if I walk with you? Because it probably wasn't someplace we should have gone. So he was there. It was a fascinating experience. And praise God, we went back to Puerto Vallarta, and here's where this happened. We took him to lunch. My daughter happens to be a vegan, and there's incredible vegan food there. And he asked, via translation on his phone, are you Christian or do you worship God? And I said, absolutely, we're Christian. And so was he. Turns out he was also vegan, which trolled my daughter on both counts. So we prayed together. He prayed in Spanish, we prayed in English. During the meal, I asked him, what do you wish more Americans knew about Mexico? And he said that we are kind and loving people, and we're generous, and we love to have you come down and experience our traditions, and we wish we could go more easily to your country and experience yours. Oh, incidentally, speaking of Mexico, these protests are not popular where I was. There are people embarrassed by them. They recognize what they're seeing. And what they're seeing are not Mexicans proud of Mexico. They're seeing people who are using their status as immigrants, most of them illegal, to tear the country down in the same way that has destroyed parts of Mexico. They see all the signs. The Democrats, as I've explained politically, are absolutely pot committed to this. And that's a poker term. It simply means this. the risk reward ratio is so great, you have so many chips in the circle, that even if your chances of winning reduce and continue to reduce with each card that's turned, you continue to remain in because you are pot committed. The Democrats are 100% pot committed to overthrowing the country via a destruction of the Electoral College and the presence in the country of people who do not want our system. Which system do they want? Doesn't matter. Not ours. So they can't back off. But just as has happened in so many other arenas, God is peeling the scales from many, many people's eyes. And you can even see it in the Mockingbird media where you wouldn't think you'd see it. CNN actually admitted that legal immigrants have shifted 40 points to the right and now support Trump's immigration policies.
Start off on the fact that immigrant citizens, immigrant voters, foreign-born voters have gone tremendously to the right on this issue in 2024 and 2025 versus where they were in 2020. Closest to or trust more in immigration. You go back to 2020. Democrats, get this, held a 32-point lead on this issue. Immigrant voters were in the Democratic camp. Jump forward to 2024, 2025. Look at that shift, a 40-point shift to the right among immigrant voters. Republicans now lead on this issue by 8 points over Democrats, more so than any other group.
When I was in Mexico, I was talking with some people who've lived there, and most of them are expats, and but not expats. They still spend their time. They're still American citizens, but they have businesses down there. And then another gentleman I've gotten to know, his friend is Caesar, and his name is Caesar. He's become a friend. He drove us around on Sunday and works at this clinic. And I asked him some questions about parts of Mexico to avoid. And what I heard was, don't go anywhere where the Sinaloa cartel runs things. Stay where the Jalisco cartel runs things. The Jalisco cartel are farmers. They're businessmen. Yes, 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 they use violence. But it's not like the Sinaloa cartel. So stay out of there. Why? Because the Sinaloa cartel is at war with government. They're trying to tear Mexico apart. They're trying to seize control of Mexico. The Jalisco cartel doesn't want to do that. They cooperate with government. And I want to be clear. I'm not saying that the Jalisco cartel is good guys. I'm saying that in terms of their policies, as it were, it's far better. They actually like Mexico. They actually want Mexico to succeed. Sinaloa cartel, as I understand it, wants to seize Mexico. So there's this difference. We see in the United States people who want to seize the United States. Now you have the president of Mexico saying that she wants to go ahead and take the American Southwest back. That's laughed at in Mexico. I was watching social media down there. So CNN's explaining this shift in the policies and people, how they view these policies, and legal immigrants, how they view the policies of President Trump. And they've shifted 40% to what CNN calls the right. Not only that, but there's been a negative trend in favorability of legal immigrants towards illegal immigrants.
So there may be all this stuff, right, about undocumented immigrants and Trump being harsh on them, but immigrant voters themselves have increasingly liked Donald Trump and have increasingly moved to the right on immigration and into the Republican camp.
Well, then on that, what you're getting at, how immigrant citizens, voters, feel about people in the country illegally.
Yeah, and this is where it all kind of comes together, Kate Baldwin. Look at this. The net favorable rating, immigrants who are here illegally, among immigrant citizens, again, those registered to vote. In 2020, look at this, plus 23 points on the net favorable rating. But look at where we were in 2024, minus 6 points, underwater. So immigrant citizens have become increasingly unfavorable in their views of those immigrants who are here illegally.
It's a fascinating thing, except for this. The people from Mexico who came here legally, they have kids. They don't want their kids overrun with criminal cartels. They came to America and respected the process because they respect law and order, because they wanted to be allowed to stay. And the way to be allowed to stay is to come in legally and with respect. When I was in Mexico, I did something I always do there. I make sure that nothing I wear has an American flag on it. I mean, very commonly, I'm wearing something American flag. In fact, there it is on my shirt today. It's an American flag. It's not because I'm ashamed of being American. I'll talk to people about America all day long there. The challenges I see, the problems I see, the beauty I see, just as I will ask people about Mexico. But in their country, I'm not wearing an American flag. I think that's an insult. I think it says something to some people that could be really off-putting. And no, it's not because I'm afraid of getting robbed. It's because I want to respect their country. So do legal immigrants want to respect ours. This is so interesting because CNN finally admits that they may need to start differentiating between legal and illegal immigrants when talking about immigration policy.
So I think it's so important when we're talking about this debate from a political angle to separate those out who are undocumented immigrants versus those who are here legally and those who are citizens and those who are voters, because that group of voters has felt increasingly distant from those immigrants who are here legally.
This has been something that everybody's known. Every time the Mockingbird media speaks, they intermingle migrants and illegal immigrants. They invented the phrase undocumented immigrants. There was for a while something they tossed out there. It was undocumented peoples. And they do that, of course, to soften the language, to soften people's opposition to illegal immigration, to blur the waters. Then there are people who blur it in a different way. You've heard all the reports that there's not really any violence in Los Angeles, that it's not really that serious in Los Angeles. You've heard all that. You've heard the phrase, and we'll get to this in the Tower Babbling, that it's just some people enjoying cars, watching cars burn, as if the cars just started on fire. And then there are people who are throwing fire grenades, rhetorically. But they're wanting to see Molotov cocktails thrown, real ones, more of them. Maxine Waters went on TV to call for more riots and rioters.
I came down here to the detention center to see if I can find out what is happening with David Huerta. He is one of our leaders in organized labor, head of a local SEIU union. I don't know why they picked him up. I don't know what they're going to do to him. I don't want them to deport him. I think that he is being targeted, but our city is being targeted because we're a sanctuary city. Trump hates us. He does not like this city. He's trying to intimidate, and he sent the guns in here on us. The governor didn't know anything about the National Guard coming here. He did it on his own. We can't be intimidated. We've got to get the people out. We've got to get the elected officials out. We've got to resist him.
Gavin Newsom and the legitimately radical, legitimately frightening Karen Bass, the so-called mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, who was involved in an actual attempt to overthrow the country. In for reals, allowed this to fester. They encouraged it. We know it's paid for. We know it's structured under groups that Data Republican is now tracking, and you can go track using her tool. But still, the Mockingbird media, even with what CNN's admitting, still they can't get out of their way. And praise God. God uses the simple things to shame the wise and the weak things to shame the strong. Here's God using the simple things to shame the wise in the presence of a New York Times headline. Trump jumps at the chance for a confrontation in California over immigration. The situation has all the elements that President Trump seeks, a showdown with a top political rival in a deep blue state over an issue core to his agenda. Number one, it's not about immigration. It's about illegal immigration. Number two, illegal immigration is a subset of an invasion. When you allow people to enter your country illegally, it's not just their bodies, it's their minds. It's not just their minds, it's their attitudes. It's not just their attitudes, it's the actions that follow their attitudes that you import. When I talked to my friend Michael Rourke, retired Special Forces operative, and I asked him that question we began the show with, I said, Mike, when do these cartel members who are here to destabilize the country, when do they get kinetic? When do they start shooting at cops and throwing bricks and burning things down? And Michael Rourke said, Todd, they do that when we close the border. They would never do it before we close the border. Why would they give their hand away? As God has done so often through President Trump. Once again, the false temple of governments is being revealed to be what it is, rotted to the core. And there are people here legitimately from Mexico who are loving and God-fearing people. And let's remember that to take the log out of our own eye. We'll come back under the Disciples View.
We'll be right back.
listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There's a lot to get to today. And I do want to just finish up on some of the observations about the riots. And starting with this, to get some other things. Michael Tate of the Newsboys has come out with a statement of repentance for sexual sin. And it's a really good statement. And I'm just curious if you are able to listen to Newsboy songs anymore. I don't know if you do. But actually, DC Talkin' has been two of my go-to sources of music for working out to Christian music. Really deeply sad to hear about this life of sin he'd been leading. And I admire him for his statement of repentance. We'll get to that. And I may have time to talk about some trends I've seen in IVF. And we may say that should tomorrow because it's got so much. But let me just start here. We know that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And I've noticed a trend in my deeply compassionate, I would say sometimes toxically empathetic friends. And it is this, that they buy wholesale that what we're seeing in the immigration battle, the illegal immigration battle and the deportation battle, is Donald Trump targeting black and brown people. Just to get them out of the country. They have not apparently seen the organized, very well-funded decision to flood our country with people of all sorts, but with no handle on who they actually are. No effort to look at their backgrounds or why they might be coming here. No effort to weed out the human trafficking of people by the cartels. No efforts, in fact, just the opposite. The decision to stop doing DNA testing at the border of children traveling with adults because they may not be their parents, may not be their uncles. Those children might be being trafficked. It's 300,000 kids that got lost. They don't know these things. And my atheist friends and family or agnostic friends and family, they don't know these things. I don't have a lot of friends who are so-called progressive Christians, or what I would call leftist Christians, fake Christians. But when I do see their posts, they're also falling for the same thing, that this is just pure racism. They're not seeing the plan, and the plan that has been put in place for a long time, plans we've talked about, plans we've documented over a process of 4 or 5 years. This is the buildup. And Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and people who are liberal, they operate on two things only. This is the only thing they think about with politics. This is it. Fairness and compassion, period. And this comes from a huge study the Leadership Institute paid for. We, in conservative movements or Christian conservative movements, we look at issues like national security. We look at issues like immigration. We look at issues like taxation. We look at issues like our debt. We look at issues like corruption. And yes, we do look at compassion and fairness, but when people are of the leftist mindset, the only thing that matters to them is it compassionate and is it fair? Which makes it so easy to put images on TV of people being taken in handcuffs and hand ties, being put in the back of vans, and to call it migrants, and migrants are targeted, and migrant communities are targeted. And it hits right at those two emotions that they've experienced. That's unfair. This lacks compassion. They cannot get beyond that. If they think it's unfair, they think it lacks compassion, none of the logic matters. You cannot logic them into this, into understanding it. The facts do not matter. It doesn't matter if you tell them these are MS-13 members. It doesn't matter if you prove it. It doesn't matter if you go through their mugshots and the crimes they've committed. It doesn't matter. Because if it does not pass their fairness and compassion test, none of it's going to change their minds. And what did Satan do in the garden? Fairness and compassion. Fake fairness and compassion. Did God really say you can't eat anything? Well, no. God said we can eat whatever we want, save from that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or we'll die. No, you won't die. Surely not. You'll simply become like God. Fairness. Well, we should be like God. That would be fair. The snake seems very compassionate. Satan also hides dark within light, fake light. There are people in our country who have lived here their whole lives and have not committed a subsequent crime. There are people who've lived here their whole lives, committed no subsequent crimes, and in fact contributed to our society. Those people exist. And we would be liars and fools to pretend they don't exist. There's also a statement, it's Hebraic, and it's very important to understand. When you are lenient but should be firm, eventually you will be cruel when you should be kind. Our immigration system has been abused, it's been taken advantage of. It's a tactic called Cloward Piven to flood a democracy, to take a democracy down, and it's created a mess of cartels and cartel members and operatives and soldiers, and they're becoming kinetic. And somewhere in there are people who've been trafficked and are being trafficked. Somewhere in there are people who came here seeking a better life. They could not wait for the visa process. They decided to sneak in, and they have contributed to society. It's a mess. But while our immigration system is broken, while we don't know what's going on, we have got to be dramatic. And I will tell you why. Five cities are going to be targeted. And if you think that this beginning process of cops having bricks thrown at them, which is horrific, attempts to take their lives, horrific, the way this can amp up and the way this looks like it's going to amp up is, hey, let's stop some rail lines. Let's not just seize freeways, let's seize rail lines. And by the way, let's stop some airports. And I'm going to say this, and this is, if you're listening with kids, be mindful. I've been predicting this for a very, very, very long time. On the West Coast, it is not unusual to have your commute home seized, to have activists seize the freeway. And your job is to sit there and wait while they wave Hamas flags, and in this case, flags of Mexico. Your job is to sit and wait for however long the police decide to let them own you. I've been making this prediction. It's a prediction I loathe. I share it with you to ask you to be mindful about where you go. One day, when all the cars are jammed up and the police can't get there, some of these terrorists are going to begin walking down the lanes, ending people's lives. One day. Whether it's with sidearms, or long rifles, or IEDs, or all of them. If I were doing their planning, I'd start a fire towards the rear so the police can't get in. And then I'd walk up through the cars. Some operatives coming north, some going south, meeting in the middle. And guess what? In cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle, people are so used to this stuff going on. They're probably going to sit there and go, oh, they're using fireworks. Please, please remember this, that Satan masquerades as an angel of light, that these things have been normalized. This is a very, very long plan. They understand that they're prepping environments. They understand they're normalizing things. And to take this just a little further, then we'll get into some news, just because this is prediction. There's a reason that when Islamic extremists take people captive, from time to time, they'll pull them out of captivity and lay them down on their side and press their neck into the ground and then make them make a video. The reason they do that is because sometime they pull you out of your cell, lay it down on your side, and you're thinking, ah, this again. Well, that's when they behead you. Because you didn't expect it. I don't want that to come true, but I fear it will. And people I've talked to in law enforcement and special forces tend to agree with me. This comes from a social media site called Defend the LAPD. And this has been confirmed, by the way. Last night when DHS and FBI requested, by the way, this is two nights ago, requested assistance because they were overwhelmed by rioters, LAPD sat idle waiting for direction. Instead of allowing the incident command to act, Mayor Karen Bass bypassed the established protocol. She called the IC for a briefing, then called the chief of police to tell him what to do. By personally directing operations, Bass functioned as a de facto incident commander in direct conflict with the city's emergency operations plan and National Incident Management System protocols. This breach of the chain of command prevented the incident commander from making crucial operational decisions, put DHS officers, FBI agents, and community members at risk, and delayed immediate LAPD support. This is unprecedented political interference and demands a federal investigation into political engagement of federal personnel and obstruction of emergency response. Incidentally, Gavin Newsom wants to be arrested. He's begging to be arrested. The dictator of California, because he saw what it did for President Trump. Problem is this for him. Most people understood what was done to President Trump was one of many things, countless things to try to take him out. Gavin Newsom is a criminal. He is aiding and abetting an invasion. He is aiding and abetting cartel activity. He is aiding and abetting human trafficking. He's offering succor and aid and protection and money. And that's demonstrably provable in court. Now, remember, I was saying that liberal people operate with two lenses when they're looking at issues like this. Is it fair and is it compassionate? And people who are there to agitate them, they instinctively know this. If you can get a liberal to believe it's neither fair nor compassionate, they're going to stand with you. This school worker tells a completely fabricated story about an elementary school being raided by ICE during a student graduation.
Our neighboring school, I think it's Gratas, I don't know how to say it. It's Gratas or something like that. They were having their graduation. And there's helicopters in the sky. Most of these schools are predominantly Hispanic. Gratas, I believe elementary, was having their graduation. And all of a sudden, a bunch of parents have to run out because ISIS is there.
I think he means ICE, not ISIS. And again, this has been fabricated. Now, who says? The Los Angeles Times. No friend of the Trump administration says this is fabricated. And here's the second part of this completely fake story of an elementary school ICE raid.
This is the story that I'm hearing. And, you know, our school goes on lockdown. Our principal, you know, tells us it's a drill, but we know it's not a drill. And, you know, I had to come outside. It's my break. We kind of got out. We got like off of a soft lockdown. And you know, parents had to run out because they don't have papers. And they had to leave their kids because the kids do. What type of is this, yo?
Now, to his defense, he said, this is what I've heard. Well, it didn't happen. But fairness and compassion. Now, I mentioned that to you, not just to inform you that this is how liberals view things, this is how they measure things, but it's an opportunity to frame our argument. Is it fair to legal immigrants to our country that illegal immigrants have been allowed to steal the word immigrant, the word migrant? Is that fair? That people who went through the system, who respected our laws, is it fair to them that others have not and are demanding to stay? And is it compassionate to tell a group of illegal immigrants, our nation's never going to enforce the law. You're always going to be the special people. You're always going to get a pass. Is that compassionate in a country that still has elections? Is it compassionate to let parts of Los Angeles burn, to let people's possessions burn? Is that fair? Now, I'd said that these things are orchestrated. I've no doubt they are. It's easy enough to track the money. And the tool that Data Republican has built makes it easy to show that it's, in fact, our tax dollars paying for a lot of this. Speaking of payment, this TikToker not only admitted he was being paid $150 per day to protest Trump's deportations in LA, but also revealed that the riots were far more organized.
When I was out in Los Angeles protesting the ICE deportations for the past few days, besides the fact that I got paid $150 to do so per day, I kept seeing signs everywhere that this was being funded by somebody much higher than the person that I had met. For instance, they would give us certain streets or certain targets to go to, and on those streets, there would be pallets of things that could cause destruction to the community. I am not joking. For instance, you turn a corner, boom, there's a pallet of bricks. Oh, that's convenient. Let's destroy the community.
If you live in these communities and you came in as a legal migrant, is it fair that your communities are the ones now that have fewer taxi cabs, fewer gas stations, less safety for your kids? Is it fair that because of the actions of these illegal immigrants and cartel members and cartel operatives seeking to destabilize America, is it fair that little kids who are legal immigrants, whose parents did it right, that they have to smell the tear gas, that they have to worry, are they coming for us next? Is that compassion? As Christians, we're told to respect the governing authorities unless they demand that we violate the word of God. So let's do this. Let's love our way through this. Let's even do the hard thing of loving the people who are orchestrating all this. Speaking of God's love, Michael Tate from the Newsboys has confessed to an ongoing sexual sin problem and victimizing others. I'll share with you what he said and then some thoughts on that. As we continue in the Disciples View, I'm Todd Herman. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and I'm in Tupelo, Mississippi for our Activate Summit. And I got to tell you, I had a really super busy day yesterday. A friend of mine got sick, kind of scary. Thought it might be a stroke. It's nothing. Actually, it's some sun, way too much sun in Mexico. And praise God that friends out there who are doctors taking care of that. I had a beautiful vacation with my daughter. It's been a long time since she and I had a one-on-one trip together. Praise God. It was just such an amazing time. And came up to Tupelo pretty tired. It's one of those long travel days. And had a security challenge at the airport. And incredibly kind, really cool. DHS officers, super understanding. Really just such a blessing, actually, to have that experience. So got here tired and came into the hotel. And wouldn't you know it, I knew right away, because of how they were acting with the desk clerk, I knew right away, these are AFR listeners. I could see their politeness. I could see their joy. And sure enough, they turned around and said, are you Todd? And they're from Columbus, Ohio. I'm not going to say their names because I have permission. But we got the chance to stand there in the lobby and to share God's word and some of what God's doing and some of the way God's challenging our families. And in my case, an incredible reward God's given our families. So let me just pause and tell you, if you don't know this, as listeners to AFR, you are part of a unique portion of the body of Christ that through American Family Association and AFR, that we spend our time combining news with God's word. And I'll tell you, I firmly believe if you ever get a chance to come out to these Activate Summits, I think you would love spending time with fellow AFR listeners. So I hope you make a plan to do that. And incidentally, if you do happen to be here, and I know that's not most of you, please do not be shy. I do a job, you do a job, your job's just as important to mine. Please come and say hi. I want to meet you while I'm here. It's one of the reasons I'm here. You know the band The Newsboys? I listen to them in DC Talk. There's a couple of songs from them I really like. And it's I have a Christian workout playlist for hard workouts, and I have one for long runs. And they're all over my hard workout playlist. The lead singer, one of the principal songwriters there, Michael Tate, has made a confession of sin on Instagram. And this is part of what he wrote. And I got this from protestia.com. Recent reports of my reckless and destructive behavior, including drug and alcohol use, drug and alcohol abuse, and sexual activity are sadly largely true. For some 2 decades, I used and abused cocaine, consumed far too much alcohol, and at times I'm ashamed of my life choices and actions. Make no excuses for them. I'll simply call it what God calls it, sin. I don't blame anyone or anything but myself. While I might dispute certain details of the accusations against me, I do not dispute the substance of them. I'm ashamed to admit that for years I've lied and deceived my family, friends, fans, even misled my bandmates about aspects of my life. I was, for the most part, living 2 distinctly different lives. I was not the same person on stage Sunday night as I was at home on Monday. I was violating everything I was raised to believe by my God-fearing dad and mom about walking with Jesus and grieving the very God I loved and sang about for most of my life. By his grace, I can only say for the past 6 months, I've lived a singular life, one of utter brokenness and total dependence on a loving and merciful God. I've hurt so many people in so many ways, and I will live with that shameful reality the rest of my life. I can only dream and pray for human forgiveness because I certainly don't deserve it. I have even accepted the thought that God may be the only one who ultimately and completely forgives me. Still, I want to say I'm sorry to everyone I've hurt. I'm truly sorry. It's my hope and prayer that those I've hurt will receive healing, mercy, and hope from the merciful healer and hope giver. And he continues on and quoting Psalm 51. And he's accused of sexual impropriety, perhaps even sexual misconduct towards several young men. And that's part of his statement. And it's a good statement of repentance, taking ownership and just admitting that, in fact, God is the only one who can ultimately forgive in the way that matters eternally. So I will absolutely pray for Michael Tate. I frankly just don't know if I can listen to the Newsboys again or DC Talk. But then again, which Christian artist hasn't sinned? And on this level, do we ask that question? On this level? I mean, forcibly involving others if he did that. That's different, for sure. That's different for sure. Oh, no, I just thought that we were inspired by the music. I thought the music was coming on and we were going to do a little... I thought Randy was going to sing for us, little Newsboys thing. No, I'm not going to do that. On this program, despite the fact that it's... Okay. So despite the fact that sometimes it is frustrating to do, we actually thank the Lord on this program for placing supposedly wise people. Okay, just a little bit more thought on Michael Tate. We're just having a tech thing here. If I sound confused, just having a tech thing here. On this Michael Tate thing with the Newsboys, I know what's happening there. When I talk about praying for him and praying for the people that he may have harmed, I mean, as well, reflecting on our sin and the things we've done in our lives. Because as I've listened to his songs for the years and working out and having it playing during the workouts, there's been oftentimes that my mind's wandered into the realm of Christ, into what I'm doing with my body during these workouts. But there's also been times where I've been convicted. And Christian music can do that to us. It can convict us. So when we're praying, and we're praying for Michael Tate and the people he's victimized, maybe it would be a good idea to actually pray that with his music on. Thinking about the duality. Because probably at the center of Michael Tate, there's a guy who loves God. He expresses that. And was singing songs, maybe even as an act of trying to cleanse. I think you and I have done that. And in some ways, Michael Tate is he is someone who's become of this world. He said cocaine use and abuse. I don't think there's anything other than abusing cocaine. Alcohol abuse. It's so easy to slip into becoming of the world rather than just being in it. And that's a huge risk that everyone lives with. On this program, it's a tradition we have of thanking the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
three soundbites in today's Tower Babbling. Brian Stelter admitted that LA's riots are an optics war, then proceeded to try to claim that most of LA is actually having a pretty normal time.
Look, on one level, protests are always about images, about spectacle. You might even say it's about theater. And we are seeing that play out in LA. And I think it's valuable to have that perspective as we see some of these pictures, especially as we zoom out and we recognize that the unrest is isolated, is not overtaking the entire city of LA. LA is home to millions of people, most of whom are having a normal day here on Sunday.
Mostly peaceful. It's, once again, the question of the decade from a political leader. Brian Stelter, do you hear yourself? Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. ABC wants you to know that most people on the streets are just having fun watching cars burn and not rioters.
Large group of people, it could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
Mark Brown with ABC 7. Do you hear yourself? They're having fun watching other people's cars. Bee burns. They're not just lighting on fire. Do you hear yourself? Because we hear you. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is the principal of a Christian preschool that was shut down in 2021.
The state of California came here with armed law enforcement and shut down our preschool. 100 kids. We had just applied to add another 50. And they shut us down because we weren't putting masks on 2 and 3 year olds.
Gavin Newsom, did you hear that? You did that. Do you see yourselves? Because we do. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Destruction of property is a perfectly viable source of protest. No harming humans, obviously. Yeah. Human life is sacred no matter whose it is. But property is, these are just things. These are just cars.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
Oh, just before we get to the personal note, I'll just tell you this. Some people would call him a musician. He actually has a couple of listenable songs. Macklemore. His house was apparently victimized in a home invasion. He wasn't there, but the nanny was putting his kids to bed because he was busy not putting his kids to bed. And apparently they broke in and sprayed bear spray in her eyes. Macklemore, I think it was last year, wrote a song, Blank the Police, with the F word in it. And he likened them to Nazis, I think, in that song. Funny, weird then, that when his house was broken into, they didn't call his manager or his agents or record company, they called the police. I wonder why that is. On a personal note today, I mentioned with you earlier, that I had an opportunity this past four and a half days, to be in Mexico with my daughter. And man, it was a godsend. And candidly, you know, I've shared with you, we went through a tough season. And marriages and families go through tough seasons. And in this case, you know, we're all 100% responsible for our 50%. In this case, I'm 100% responsible for everybody's 50%. And God's done such incredible work. So to have this trip and to have the following experience, I can't tell you, of all the things we experienced, here's the things that stood out to my daughter. And it just speaks to who she is, who God has made her. Number one. She agreed to go to dinner with me and one of my dear friends who's a business partner, has been for a very long time. And he's become a brother. He's a Christian brother. And we got to go out to this dinner. My daughter agreed to go. She's 20 or so. And here she is at a table with, let's see, 1, 2, 3 guys who are worth, between them, somewhere near $1 billion. Between them. She chatted with them. She entertained them a bit. She was quiet for a bunch of time because later she said, Dad, it was kind of a male-dominated conversation. True. And Afterwards, two men sent me a text saying, number one, one guy wrote and said, hey, in the godliest way possible, I have to tell you, you need more guns because your daughter is absolutely stunning and beautiful and charming. Another gentleman wrote me a note and said, you know what? That was a tough audience for your daughter to be in that young age. She is poised and fun to talk to. And by the way, I mean this in a non-creepy sense. She's beautiful. When I shared that with her, I heard her say, they thought that? Yes, yes, God has gifted you this way. Then there was this. God gifted my daughter with a deep, abiding love for animals. And she wants to channel that into something of a vocation, because now it's an avocation. And wouldn't you know it, here we are in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Incredible food, incredible beaches, incredible time speaking Spanish, watching my daughter learn to speak Spanish, spending the day with a couple of citizens of Mexico, teaching us about their land and their families and how they work and where they live, and taking us through real neighborhoods where real people live, not just the tourist areas. It was seeing an iguana. My daughter, first thing up, you said there's iguanas. There are, they're all over. And Caesar took us to a place where the iguanas hold a meeting at lunchtime. And to see my daughter follow the iguanas around, talking to them, and then getting down on their level to take a picture and seeing the mask go up, an orange mask on their sides. That was cool. But you know what really did it for me? We're walking down to the Marqueta on this beautiful path, and my daughter says, ah, mango. And she bent down, she picked a mango up, and she started to eat it. I said, you're eating a mango? She said, Dad, God dropped this from the tree for me. It was my little girl, amazed at the simplicity and the majesty of what God makes. So she tore the mango open and she ate it. She said, this is the best mango I've ever had. And it just dropped from a tree. We're told that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, one of the things we need to do is be, once again, like children. I've always taken it to me. With the ability to stand amazed at what Father God has provided for us in the common sense. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. Walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been The Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.